Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm your host, John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com. Trevor Sikkema is not with me today. He is still one last hurrah in Vegas, living it up. So here I am on a Sunday night, very late, recording Locked On NFL Draft for your listening ears after a wonderful and very entertaining, I think it's been an entertaining NFL season in general, but man, some really fun games, a fun finish just now between the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Deshaun Watson looking every bit the part despite being under pressure for the vast majority of that game, and I know that's been the story this season as well. He's still finding ways to make plays. What an impressive performance. DeAndre Hopkins, unbelievable down the stretch. Justin Reed, my boy, had a pick in this game, so excited. A lot of good stuff happening amongst rookies throughout the league. Really, over the whole weekend, it wasn't the biggest performance statistically for a lot of rookies, and I know we normally look at rookie performances, and I will dive into that some as I kind of roll through some of these games, but you know, really things that stood out to me is I thought Buffalo's whole mindset, kind of like, this is how we're going to win, even though we have Josh Allen. We have this rookie, we have this quarterback, we traded up what we wanted, we invested everything in, and they're starting to realize this guy's not ready. He's not close to ready. He's not close to what we need him to be. And I think because of that, it's kind of changed the way that they are operating a little bit. And I don't want to say it's made them passive, but they've just kind of understood that we can't really be that aggressive offensively and be successful. You can definitely argue that any success this season that Buffalo has is ultimately pretty futile and is just going to put them closer toward the middle of the draft, best case scenario. I would agree with that. Good luck getting an NFL team to buy into that philosophy, though. So as a Bills fan, should you be hoping that they lose here and there? I think that honestly is probably the best thing for the team in the long run. But also you like to see, you know, the AFC's weak and you're still going to have hope for most of the season if they continue to win any more games. I mean, 2-3 right now. Certainly the slate isn't impossible with the Jets and the Dolphins in your same division. Both of them kind of up and down week to week as well. Certainly none of those teams looking like playoff contenders right now. So it's an interesting spot to be in my opinion, if you're Buffalo, because you really like to say, oh, we were in the playoffs last year and we can compete. But just look, I mean, they there's nothing they can do in the passing game. It's just they're so limited in that regard. And it's not just because of Josh Allen. It's because of protection and, you know, the concepts need to get people open. The pass catchers aren't great either. Lots of drop passes. And, you know, Allen has not made the group better. And he's a rookie. That's okay. I don't, you know, everyone knows I wasn't high on Allen, but I don't think that's condemnation of him to say that he hasn't elevated what is, yes, a rough group and that they do need a quarterback to kind of be able to step in and do those kind of things for them. And their yards per carry average, not even that eye-popping. I mean, LeSean McCoy's out here, 24 carries, 85 yards, 3.5 yards a carry. Chris Ivory, 14 carries, 43 yards, just over 3 yards a carry. I mean, none of these guys are blowing anybody away. They're just coming out here. They're literally, it's the most old-school approach right now. But they're doing, I mean, Josh Allen was 10-19 for 82 yards, and he threw a pick. I mean, I know we're not box score scouting here, but I've seen a couple of them, and I talked to a couple of the guys who cover the team, and you know, our boy Eric Turner was saying even a couple of the completions from Allen were not exactly on target and required some nice efforts by the receivers. So it's just that kind of a situation in Buffalo right now. Doesn't mean it'll always be that way. Doesn't mean that's always who Josh Allen will be. Right now, that is unequivocally who he is, and they've kind of accepted that. And hey, they won 13-12 today. And talk about a team that isn't for real, that's the Tennessee Titans. And I know I picked them before the season, but I haven't been able to even toot their horn even when they were 3-1. It just, they weren't, you could tell the process was flawed and that there were enough issues here that it was eventually going to hurt them, I think, in the long run. And caught up with them in Buffalo on the road. I don't know what the situation is with Marcus Mariota. I don't know why this group and him especially, they're not playing better. It's confusing to me. They have what seems like a lot of talent and not many holes, and they cannot put it all together, on a consistent. I mean, this was a huge opportunity with the Jaguars losing to get to 4-1. You've already got a game in hand against the Jags, or you already got that win against them. That's huge for you. This was a big, big opportunity against a team that the Titans are just way more talented than, and they let it slip away. So that one's going to be hard to live down. Speaking of things that are hard to live down, as we watched Baker Mayfield with a thrilling drive bring the Browns back and to win that game in overtime. I thought he was not perfect in this game. Far from it. All the rookie quarterbacks were. But this was still that kind of test of who is Baker Mayfield? Why did we draft him? We drafted him to be the guy that backed up under his own goalpost, under pressure, getting away from pressure, and then making a throw that allows his receiver to catch and run for a big gain that eventually put Cleveland in position for the game-winning field goal in overtime. That's Baker Mayfield. That's why the Browns drafted him. That's why they believed in him. It's why they thought he could be their guys, because he, even when the game hasn't gone perfectly and he's missed some passes and he hasn't handled pressure the right way, and there was plenty of it, man. His tackles were getting leveraged back into his space the entire fourth quarter and overtime that I watched. It was crazy. He hardly had any space to be able to set up and throw. But even with all those other things going on, Baker Mayfield continued to be the guy who could step up and make plays despite the adversity and the short memory when he made mistakes. And so very encouraging to me. Cleveland still moving in the right direction. Bad loss for Baltimore. But in the midst of saying that, and teams that have decisions they may regret, the New York Giants, and I'm not even saying Saquon Barkley has been terrible or anything like that. I don't think that's the case. There's been some undiscipline with him as a runner. He's trying to be more disciplined. He had 15 carries for 48 yards in this game. I think he had a 20 and a 30-yard run. So you do the math. His other 13 carries went for negative 2 yards. Negative 2 yards on 13 other carries. I mean, his numbers have borne out exactly kind of who Trevor and I said he was in college. You'll get a splash play run. You'll get tons of negative runs. That's exactly who he's been in the NFL. Although I do think that the offensive line is hurting him some. There's been opportunities. He's left some on the field. Ultimately, though, what Trevor and I always said was, and why he was a top 10 player for us, was even though he's not that, he's not the runner between the tackles and just the every down runner, you know, in the breath of greats that people wanted to put him in before he ever played a snap, you know, or even like a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, like not even in that class as a pure runner, but as an overall offensive weapon, he's just going to make plays for you. 4 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns today. Obviously caught the long uncontested one on the touchdown from Odell Beckham. That was the majority of that. But also caught the one that for a moment looked like it was going to be the game winner for the Giants until Graham Gano hit that stone 65-yard field or 63-yard field goal, which was pretty much jaw-dropping. But I think that that was one of those things for the Giants that when you look at numbers like that and you say, okay, this guy broke a 30 and a 20-yard run and he still ended up with 48 yards on the day, and that's been kind of the thing this whole season. It's one of those things that it brings you back to that question. Really, even if Saquon Barkley were killing it and run away with Offensive Rookie of the Year, it would be hard to justify. Will it come back to bite the Giants passing on a franchise quarterback? Obviously, Baker Mayfield off the board, but Josh Allen's won. So far, he's looked really, really shaky. Sam Darnold, from everything I've heard, and I've seen a couple of the throws, and I'm excited to watch the full tape later today, played probably his best game as an NFL quarterback, made some of the toughest throws that I've seen him make, more high degree difficulty stuff going down the field. They open things up, they let him attack, and good things happen. That's huge against a pretty good Denver defense. So really, really, really exciting stuff for Sam Darnold. So that's one for the Giants. If Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, but especially those two, to me, because I was the ones, those are the ones that I would have recommended the Giants choose between. If those guys become stud NFL quarterbacks, I don't even mean stars, I don't even mean the next Tom Brady, I mean stud NFL quarterbacks, and the Giants aren't in position to be able to land some, basically Justin Herbert, if he even declares this year, which is completely up in the air, and we'll talk about that more, I'm sure, on Tuesday and Wednesday, but if he even declares, and the Giants aren't in position to land him over other teams like Denver, like Oakland, I don't know that I see another one. You know, assuming Haskins doesn't come out, and I'm not sure how ready he is even if he does come out, there ain't another one right now. Not that's draft eligible. There ain't another guy that you're going to get in that caliber that can be a Darnold or a Rosen down the road. So as those guys approach and grow, and I know Rosen had some ups and downs today from what I heard. I only saw the touchdown pass to Kirk, so I'm excited again to sit down and watch more of his game. Haven't seen much else. I know he missed some passes, they said. Lots of pressure, as always. It's just going to be the case. But in any regard, that's really what I'm looking forward to seeing is how Darnold and Rosen progress. And really, it's going to be unfair to Saquon Barkley because if those guys even become good quarterbacks, not even great ones, good ones, that could have been huge for the Giants. Because right now, that's not the case with their quarterback situation. They don't have a good one. And Odell said that, and he probably shouldn't have said that to the media for sure, but hard to disagree with him watching Eli Manning play. There's just too many limitations there down the field. You know, there's just he won't be aggressive anymore. So that's one of the big storylines, obviously. Darnold improving, Rosen getting a win, obviously, making a couple big plays, but overall still being pretty shaky and how that the evaluation process of those two plays back to the Giants at all turns and probably will throughout their entire career. You know, the fact that they took not only passed on those guys, but that they took a running back, you know, which most people would argue, and I would agree, Trevor and I, you've heard us talk about it a lot, position at the end of the day. Hard to say that it really matters in the grand scheme of things when you can easily be able to land something else. Hey, get all your NBA previews this week at Locked On NBA. 6 teams a day, 5 days in the week. 30 teams previewed from the local experts of Locked On NBA. Follow Locked On NBA on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Ever since Trevor and I started this podcast, people always asking us for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is we don't always know who's going to win, but if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people go to bet with MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. We would only recommend a service to our listeners. It's been great to us. That's why we're urging you. Make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON is the promo code to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. LOCKEDON is the promo code when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid. So we've talked about some of the NFL matchups that are going on that have gone on this past weekend, some of the rookie performances that impressed and some that didn't as much. I think the biggest takeaway for me so far from the rookie class, it takes a long time for offensive linemen to really get up and running in the NFL as from the rookie season to watching their trajectory over the next couple of years of their career. That's been borne out and we talk about it a lot. It also takes a long time for some of these pass rushers to get going. They have to figure out their opponents. They have to study them. They have to play against them. You know, they have the feeling out process of kind of how to produce against that level of talent. We've seen that, you know, even though Harold Landry's had some success, still just one sack on the season. And Bradley Chubb, the numbers are starting to improve for him. But, you know, it's been just kind of a slow statistical start for those guys. But I think there's been a lot of positives to their game. Jannard Avery, same thing. You know, not necessarily piling up sacks every single week, but pressures and starting to figure things out and playing at NFL speeds and figuring out snap counts and cadences with different quarterbacks. And that stuff is so important and we underrate it so much. And I think a lot of these pass rushers, you won't really see them peak until their third season. Even a lot of the production, if a guy has some big game, look at the production and how they get it. Yeah, I think you'll see them start to peak as 1v1 players closer to their second or third seasons in the NFL. I think it's just going to take a little bit of time to get to that elite level production. Not everybody, and very few actually, are Joey Bosa coming into the NFL and producing right away. Even Myles Garrett last year, what do you have, 7 sacks? It was certainly fine for a rookie season, but a lot of those coming on the inside, and there were some unblocked ones, some hustle ones, and so you know, those kind of plays, that's great for rookies to make. But the sustainable stuff, the 1v1 stuff, you know, that's really where they're going to make their money down the road in their career. So I think that I wouldn't be alarmed necessarily by the slow start of some of these guys. Still a lot of really, really good things happening on that front for a lot of these players. Jesse Bates is a player we've got to talk more about. He is having a sensational season for Cincinnati, playing at a really high level, deep in the field, usually off sometimes single high, also too high, but just making a lot of great plays on the ball, showing off his range, some instincts, showing off a skill set that to land him in, I think it was like the mid-second round, I want to say, or late second round. To land him in that territory just looks like a really, really great pick by Cincinnati, a team who's drafted really, really well. For all the flack we give Cincinnati, and rightfully so, they've drafted really, really well. They've done some really good things through the draft, developed talent well. You know, just the reality of the in-game coaching decisions is really what's doomed them for the most part, and the lack of discipline, obviously. But, I mean, I really think this is one of the more talented teams in the NFL. I said it before the season. I was a believer in the Bengals. Yes, it wasn't their best game today, but they came back, won a very important game that they really needed to win. I think they continue to kind of grow as a team, and I don't know. I mean, obviously the luster always seems to wear off with Andy Dalton. I don't think they're better than the Chiefs or the Patriots, so there's probably a ceiling on this. But I do think they're super talented, and I don't think there's a lot of holes on that team. And if they're focused, it's tough to figure out a way to beat them, to hold them down for four quarters. You know, they didn't, they said like 3 points through like two and a half quarters. And then all of a sudden, there they go and end up with 27 on the game. So it was an impressive performance by them to close things out, and one that was really much needed with Pittsburgh winning and playing Cincinnati next week and Baltimore losing. It was a great opportunity for them to at least continue to ride atop first place. And remember, they already beat Baltimore once, so that was even a bigger result for them in that way. Kansas City and Jacksonville. This was the game kind of everybody was talking about and watching, and it didn't feel like it lived up to the hype at all. And that's mainly because Blake Bortles. He's bad. Not just like okay, but bad. Because sometimes he's okay. That makes it worse in some ways. You never know what you're getting from your quarterback position. It's hard to game plan for that. I know they've done as best they can, but eventually the ball's going to be in a guy like that's hands. That's just, it's inevitable in the NFL. You can't get all the way to the Super Bowl. Eagles never would have done it for a full season with Nick Foles. It never would have happened. And you could see that at the beginning of this season, right? And you could see it last season when he played in the regular season. They already got in. They already got locked in that bye. They were able to ride it out and finish in the playoffs, and that's great. But it's just not a sustainable way to win. You need somebody who can ball at the quarterback position. That ain't Blake Bortles. He just is not that kind of a guy. And I wish that he was, because I love some things about his game, but too inaccurate. Mechanics are too bad. Ball comes out of his hand. I mean, the ball sails on him. He doesn't see the field well. Four picks today. That's a bad, bad defense that he's facing. And I know he threw for 430 against him, but you should, because that's a rough group. And to throw four picks and turn it over like that didn't give your team a chance to win. And that was the big thing I kept coming back to. It's like, if they just had competent quarterback play today, could they have won this game? Because the defense did some good things. I think the Chiefs had a defensive touchdown in there, you know, and some short fields, obviously, off the turnovers. And to hold the Chiefs to 23 offensive points, I mean, I really think that was, you know, and they forced like two turnovers, I think, on Patrick Mahomes' first two interceptions he's thrown this season. So, I mean, they gave the offense opportunities, man. And because they didn't have competent quarterback play, it just made it impossible for Jacksonville to win a game that they really kind of needed to win. And so you look across the landscape of teams that you're like afraid of, or you know, think have big time potential, and why aren't the Bengals over the Jaguars? I mean, they should be. There's no comparison right now between the two teams in the way that they're playing, which team is more threatening. Obviously, Jacksonville's defense, I'm not saying they couldn't beat Cincinnati. I'm just saying that if you were just picking one, Cincinnati's got a great defense themselves. They've got tons of talent. And Jacksonville, as talented as they are defensively, they'll still give things up. There's still ways to beat this team. They are not all-time great defensively, and offensively, they are bad. I know Leonard Fournette's not out there, and he will help when he comes back, but I don't think he has the skill set to be a savior. And we've already talked about the running back position. It's not that kind of a gig. I mean, T.J. Yeldon's out here averaging 5 yards a carry today, over 5 yards a carry. So, I mean, it's not like they can't run the football. Just the passing game is too limited. In today's NFL, if you can't pass, you can't do jack. It's just the reality. You have to be able to throw the ball. It just doesn't work. There's too many other complications right now if you can't throw the football to be successful offensively. Hey, do you need a fantasy jolt? Two shows for you on Locked On. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 gets you all the injury news wires, etc. And Locked On Fantasy Football with Vinny Iyer has a different expert every day from among the fantasy world. Follow Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 and Locked On Fantasy Football on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Fantasy Football. We all love a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. And with Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more to save even more money. Go to the App Store right now or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event. So we've talked about some of the rookie performances that really stood out, some of the games really that stood out, and where we see the sphere of things in the NFL. A couple more to touch on quickly. The Steelers and the Detroit Lions, both really difficult teams to figure out. Tons of talent offensively, lots of issues defensively, but when they put it all together, these are the kind of results you can get. You know, mostly shutting down Aaron Rodgers for a lot of the day. And, I mean, obviously Mike McCarthy helps with that too, but the same thing with Atlanta, really. Steve Sarkisian helping, I think, in some ways with Pittsburgh. I mean, play action ad nauseum, and I'm a big advocate of play action, but, man, at some point you're just drop Matt Ryan back and let him read the field, because you can pick Pittsburgh apart. You know, having this whole drawn-out process just allowed the pass rush more time to get home and really was the Falcons' undoing, I think. And so while I'm an advocate of play action situationally, overusing it, really the pass rushers just start teeing off and don't even respect it, and then your quarterback's in trouble, and that's what happened to Atlanta today. So both teams that got wins to preserve their seasons, obviously Detroit's in more trouble, I think, in the NFC, but I mean, this is a big win for Detroit, and I don't want to overlook it. You know, beating Green Bay has been a difficult thing for them, so big win for them. They keep themselves alive, they keep their season alive. Big win for the Steelers, but for the Falcons, this team is 1-4. They're cooked, probably. That defense is terrible. And I know tons of injuries, so I don't want to put too much on the staff. It looks like one of those seasons that just ain't Atlanta's year. I mean, that's fully healthy. That might be the most talented roster in the NFL, and they look like they're for sure going to miss the playoffs. To me, that's one of the most surprising things of the young season. Also surprising, Philadelphia, below 500. Too much talent on that team. They're just way too fluky. They're way too up and down. Horrible in the first half. Great in the third quarter. All over the place in the fourth quarter. There's just no consistency right now with Philadelphia. I don't like a lot of the things Doug Peterson's been doing. Some poor clock management, timeout management at the end of the game. It just seems like Philadelphia is in a real rut, like a Super Bowl hangover victory type of rut. And man, who looks threatening in the NFC other than the Rams? I'm trying to think. I mean, Philadelphia doesn't. Certainly nobody in the NFC East. I mean, I'm excited to watch Washington play tomorrow. I think the Saints, if they get to 4-1, could be that other team emerging. But nobody in the NFC East right now. Nobody in the NFC West right now. The Bears? Are we ready to? I'm not ready to go there. I can tell you right now, I'm not ready to go there. I need to see a couple more things from the Bears to be ready to go there. Minnesota, I mean, this is a nice bounce back for them and to get to 2-2-1, but it was an important game. But again, sure, they could be a playoff team, but right now, the way I see it, I think the Rams and the Saints are way above everybody else in the division, and that's not even talking just record. I just think that's where we're at right now. I mean, the Saints have really rebounded since that loss to the Bucs to open the season, and if they can take care of business at home against a Washington team that I think is talented and could be a sneaky playoff candidate, I think the Saints are going to really be that other team maybe to establish themselves early in the season. What I wonder is, though, is it peaking a little bit too early for some of those teams? Because there's a lot of football left to be played, and obviously you need to be hitting your stride at the right time. Now, I don't get too much into the timing, but it has been a thing that you've seen with NFL teams not called the New England Patriots, where they're playing their best football a little bit early and then teams figure some things out against them. So it's kind of a people say that kind of as a lazy analysis bit, like, oh, are they peaking too early? I don't know if I would phrase it that way when you're actually looking at it, but I do think there are, oh, did teams figure you out, basically, by the time it came to crunch time? Did teams figure you out and you didn't have a plan B? I think that's a thing. So if that's what people mean by that expression, that is something to watch for with those teams. But McVay is just so brilliant. I mean, it's year two here, and it doesn't feel like anyone is closer to stopping him than they've ever been. I mean, that offense, the best offense in the league right now. They're rolling. And the Saints get Ingram back here, and I think they're going to be rolling as well. So I just think that that's – those right now look like far and away the more talented is Philly and Minnesota and Green Bay for sure, and Detroit, even if you want to throw them in there, and the rest of the NFCs, whatever's going to become of that mess. And it just looks like everybody's trying to figure things out right now. And it feels like the Rams kind of are there. They know what they're doing. I mean, to go on the road and win in Seattle has played way tougher this season than people give them credit for. I know they don't look like a playoff team, but they've played really tough this year. And the Rams went on the road, did some really nice things, and came away with a victory, a hard-fought one. I knew that game would be close, even though I think the Rams are definitely the better team. I knew that one would be close. So fun to watch. Fun weekend of football in general. My thoughts kind of on the games in general there. Trevor will be back tomorrow, so you won't have to listen to me drone on. We'll talk about the college prospects, who stood out to us this past weekend, what we've got our eye on. Believe it or not, well, this was the end of – we're halfway through college football season, and we're through 5 weeks of the NFL season. Before you know it, it'll be halfway through the season. We'll have a couple teams close to eliminated shortly after that. By that point, though, you'll know who's eliminated, who can look forward to the draft. Pretty soon, Trevor, maybe even this week if Trevor wants to, we'll start our funerals for teams that we're predicting are cooked. Even though if they're not officially cooked yet, according to NFL elimination standards, that you can say goodbye to their 2018 playoff hopes and start looking ahead to the draft. So we'll start welcoming in fan bases to our little purgatory here where we talk about the NFL draft 24/7, and it's a beautiful thing. So until next time, folks, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.